Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Bases Loaded. I am your host, Eric Ellefson, and I guess what a kind of basis of what this podcast will be about is basically a sports weekly kind of recap, analysis, kind of just talking about whatever is happening in the world of sports. This isn't like my first rundown with like this type of thing. I did a show at UWL with their radio station, kind of the same thing, more of a radio show, less of a podcast, which is what this is going to be, but basically the same kind of concept. We're going to just talk sports, basically whatever comes to mind, and kind of just analyze and all that stuff. So for the first show, we're going to do March Madness kind of a recap. We got the Final Four coming, or it's this Saturday for the men's. Women's Final Four is on Friday. We got MLB season preview, which starts today as opening day, so woo! Kind of NFL offseason and NBA playoffs right around the corner with that. So I just starting off with like March Madness. I mean, it was madness, that's for sure. My bracket, if anyone does a bracket, I don't know about you all, but mine was pretty much busted when Purdue lost FAU, I believe it was, or FDU. Yeah, I think it was FDU, which I never thought I would see, like, a one seed lose ever, let alone, like, twice in my lifetime. But, you know, Purdue played not that well, and, you know, in the madness of this March Madness, if you have one bad game, it doesn't matter your seeding, you're gonna lose real quick, and it can make all the difference. And I mean, it comes down to a lot of luck. Still, you have players and teams that maybe you're not familiar with, all these powerhouse Division One, all like Power Five conferences, so like your Big Ten, your Pac-12, Big 12, SEC, Big East, I believe is probably for basketball. I think in football too, but yeah, those Power Five kind of think that, like, you know, these schools are going to come out of nowhere and just be like easy picking for them, and then that's not always the case, as we've seen. You know, Purdue losing Kansas, another number one seed in the defending champs, they lost in the second round. So we have, what is it, UConn, Florida Atlantic, Miami, and what is the other one? Let me just look it up. San Diego State, that's it. So I think it's all, I think every team besides UConn is making like their first appearance in the Final Four. I would probably, I don't know, the FAU, San Diego State, that'll probably, I mean, they both should be really interesting games. I think UConn is probably the favorite of the four remaining teams, but with, you know, anything can happen in March. You know, we could see a Miami versus FAU or Florida or San Diego State for the title, and it wouldn't surprise me really at this point. And then women, I know it's Iowa, because they were like a team that I picked to win it all for my women's bracket, which I'm doing a lot better in my women's bracket than I did with my men's. And I did 5 men's brackets, which is usually about what I usually do, because you can do up to like 25, but that's way too many brackets to try and fill out. And, you know, I mean, you don't have to, it's easy to keep track of, because, like, you know, ESPN or whatever you do, Yahoo Sports or CBS, you know, they keep track of the scores and, you know, games winning and all that stuff, who wins, who loses, so you don't have to do anything. But like trying to make up 25 brackets, I'm sure people do it, I don't know why, because that's a lot to like flip through. And like I can go through, I mean, it probably takes me a couple, maybe about 5 to 10 minutes to do a bracket. But that's just too much to do, like, probably more than, like, maybe next year I'll do, like, 10, see how that works. But, I did 5. I had Alabama. Oh, that was the other team. Yeah, Alabama, like, the number one overall seed. They lost in Sweet 16, I believe it was. They were my pick to, I had them pick to win 2 or 3 of my brackets. I know for sure 2. I had Gonzaga winning one, Arizona. I don't remember the other one. I think I might have picked some other random team. I don't know, but that's probably what I might have picked a random team, which is usually what I do is like just pick a random team and see how it goes. And women's, we got LSU versus Virginia Tech, and then Iowa versus South Carolina, who is the reigning champ. South Carolina's undefeated. I did not know that. But I'm hoping Iowa wins, because I picked them to win, and they're the only bracket of mine that I have that's actually still in the running to try and do anything good with it. Because, like, if you pick, like, if you pick correctly the national champion, you, like, entered into a drawing to win, like, I believe it's $5,000, and they picked, like, I think it's, like, 10 or something. So that'll be worth watching to see if I didn't actually do that. Because I know last year I picked UConn to go all the way, and they ended up losing to South Carolina in the championship. So I did pretty well, but I'm gonna do it one of these days. The best I've ever done had been like maybe, let's see, it's 23. I think it was like 15 or 16. One of those years, or maybe even 17. I think it was 17. I had a perfect bracket like on the first day. And then the second day of like first round games went downhill real quick. And yeah. And then, you know, Wisconsin didn't make it into March Madness. They made it to the National Invitational Tournament, NIT. They played their semifinal game Tuesday night. I did not watch it. I thought it started a little bit later than it did. But I guess because they were playing in Vegas with the time zone differences and stuff like that, they might have started earlier than I expected them to. And watching highlights and stuff, they played really well first half. And then it was kind of flipping the strip the second half where North Texas was just making everything. Wisconsin wasn't scoring and ended up losing by 2. But I mean, they played a lot better in that tournament than some of the Big Ten teams in March Madness, which is a little surprising. I mean, they played all right, considering, you know, we lost Johnny Davis and to the draft and all that stuff. So I kind of knew this season was going to be rough going into it. We started off pretty well. Like, I don't know if we were ranked or not, but we started off pretty well. And then it kind of went downhill as we kind of were missing that star player who you can, like, put the game on your back and just take over like Johnny Davis could. And probably should have, I mean, he could have stayed, but he, you know, went to the draft and got drafted 10th overall, I believe, by the Washington Wizards, and then hasn't really played a whole lot. I think he's been mostly with their G League all season, you know, probably. Which, I mean, he's probably getting more playing time there than he would in the actual, like, on the actual team. So that's, you know, a good thing for him at least. But for Wisconsin, you know, we definitely missed that. And don't know how many, I think we're missing, gonna miss a couple of seniors. I don't know how many. I think Stephen Troll, then he might be the senior. The main, like, playing time senior that's graduating. But I'll have to, like, I don't know the rest off the top of my head without, like, looking it up. But, you know, we're Wisconsin basketball. We kind of make do with what we get. And we'll be fine. We kind of just gotta, it's like, we're not, like, a Duke. We're not Kentucky or North Carolina. We kind of get who we get. And we mold them into a team. Like, if we look at those final, back-to-back Final Four teams and then the 2015 National runner-ups. Like, a lot of those guys were, like, walk-ons, not really well-recruited out of high school. Like, Frank Kaminsky was, like, barely recruited at all. I think Wisconsin was, like, one of the only teams that offered him a scholarship or something like that. And then, you know, by his senior year, he's National Player of the Year in all of Division I men's college basketball. So that's kind of how Wisconsin operates, both basketball and football. Though, with the hiring of Luke Frickell for football, we might start getting a little bit more like top recruits and stuff like that because of like what he did with Cincinnati and like turning that program around. And you know, they made the college football playoff, and then a bunch of those players went like into the first couple rounds of the NFL draft. So there's definitely some room, some optimism for that, but it's probably gonna take us a couple years. And I think it's 2025 or 6 is what they're looking for to like expand that college football playoff. I don't know if it's going to be 8 teams or maybe like 12 or something like that, which would probably make sense because they've done this college football playoff since 2015, and a lot of the teams that make it have been the same. Like, it's always like in Alabama. The past couple years, it's been like Georgia in there. We have like Ohio State or Michigan for the Big Ten. We've got some other, like Washington, University of Washington made it once. We had like Cincinnati 2 years ago. So we get like some kind of like, I would just say like some mitts up and kind of shaking up of it every once in a while. But usually it's like the same like 3 or 4 teams. And then maybe, you know, if the committee's feeling generous and like a team does really well and kind of outperforms expectations and a lot of other teams, they'll put them in. Though they really, like with Cincinnati, like I don't know who they played, but you kind of, they weren't up to par with them. And it kind of shows like, I think it was like University of Central Florida. I don't think they made it, but like they were undefeated and they didn't, I don't know if they went into that football playoff or something like that, but they just kind of destroyed. And kind of shows like you're a good team, but you're not able to compete with, you know, the big dogs of like Alabama and stuff. And Wisconsin, like they just started doing like spring practices. Gonna be April. I think their spring game is probably in, you know, mid-April or something like that, which I might actually watch for like the first time ever just to see like how things are going out, because it'll be interesting to see how this new coach and this new coaching staff builds this program and see if we can get to like, you know, the national, like the playoff, college football playoff, I should say, and kind of see if we can do anything with that and kind of show them that like, yes, because we made it like to some Rose Bowls. We haven't won any, at least that I've seen. Like they won like some in the early 90s back to back, and then they won, I think, another back to back in the like late 90s as well, but like I was only a couple years old, so I don't remember that at all. But I know like all these Rose Bowls games, we've been in there, we've won like some bowl games, so we've been like, we do pretty well. But like I want to see us kind of like get some national talent, get some like high recruits, and see if we can like go toe to toe with Alabama and Georgia and all these big dons. I know we can, because we've played some, like, you know, SEC teams and stuff like that in bowl games, and we've won, or if we lose, we know we hold our own. So I'd like to see that in the near future. So now, moving on to MLB, baseball season starts today. It's opening day. I think we've got some games happening already. And then we got, you know, more tonight. But I think, yeah, all 30 teams are in play. Which they've done for like the past couple years now, where like all 30 teams play on opening day, and you know they kind of, and then you know scheduling and stuff goes from there. But I guess off season is pretty, you know, interesting. Off season, we had like the big market was like the shortstops. We had like 4 big name shortstops. They were on the free agent market. We had Dansby Swanson, Xander Bogaerts, Trey Turner, Carlos Correa. So Correa re-signed with the Twins, Bogaerts with the Padres, Trey Turner with the Philadelphia Phillies, and then Dansby Swanson with my Chicago Cubs. All got pretty, I mean, except for Swanson, everyone got like over $200 million for a contract. Don't know how much of that was guaranteed and stuff like that, but we'll kind of see, especially the Padres signing Xander Bogaerts, because I know they re-signed Manny Machado a week or two ago to like a bigger extension type of thing. You know, last offseason or last trade deadline, they traded for Juan Soto. Fernando Tatis Jr. missed all last year with an injury, and then he got, as he was like coming back, I think, tested positive for performance enhancing drugs and was suspended, so that'll still happen, you know, to start this season. I don't know when he'll be back. He might be back around like May or June. The Padres, who, you know, are probably one of the favorites in the National League, along with probably the Philadelphia Phillies who made it to the World Series last year. Signing Trey Turner to that team definitely helps, you know, bring some speed. Contact has some power. They'll probably be active in the trade deadline as their first baseman DH Rhys Hoskins tore his ACL in spring training, like one of the last spring training games. So they'll probably be, you know, seeing what they can get trade deadline or what they have in terms of like their minor league system to see if they can have anyone that can like help them out until the trade deadline or something like that. I guess prediction wise, we'll go division by division and then pick like wild card teams, division winners, and then we'll do to the pennant winners, World Series winners, all that stuff. We'll start with the National League Central because that's, you know, more of like our local teams. The Cardinals won the division last year. I mean, it's probably going to come between Cardinals and Brewers. As much as I love my Cubbies, I don't think they're going to do it. To be for the division, they could probably do it for a wild card, and we'll like talk about that a little bit later. But I just, you know, Cardinals, you know, they have Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. They signed Wilson Contreras from us to replace Yadier Molina's catcher, who is a lot better offensive catcher than him. You still have, like, you know, good pitching staff, bullpen, all that stuff. Defense, like, especially with Arenado and Goldschmidt, you have a very good defensive corner of your infield. Brewers are a lot banking on, you know, their starting pitching, which has definitely been their strength these past couple years. Bullpen is going to be a little bit something after, you know, they traded Josh Hader to the Padres last year for the trade deadline. They don't really have other than like Devin Williams as like their closer, they don't really have another person to help them out. Just like bullpen, you want like a couple of good quality arms. Like, you want a good lefty, and like Hader was pretty good lefty that they could rely on and put in like high leverage situations, maybe do like a 2-inning save or get like, you know, 4 outs or something like that that they could put in and, you know, get outs and stuff like that. But they don't really have anyone that I know of that's like a lefty that they can put in, unless they got someone. I don't remember who all got from that deal, but it's probably going to come between those two. I guess it'd probably be the Cardinals. Probably would have the edge, maybe like 60-65%, because I think I trust their offense and like pitching, well, more so their offense. I think Brewers probably would say have the better like starting pitching staff, but like their offense has always kind of been, you know, what's going to kind of do it. Because like you can pitch really well, if you can't score, it doesn't matter if, you know, Corbin Burns goes 8-9 innings if all the Brewers can score is one run. Like, that might win some of those games, but come the end of the season or come playoff time, that's probably not going to be enough to win most of the time. So that's probably where I would see it coming down to is, you know, and a lot of, like, some of the offseason moves they made, you know, they traded for, like, Jesse Winker. Where is it, Winkler? I think it's Winker. The Mariners kind of had an off year. So kind of banking on him coming back. See if they can get Yelich back to what it is. But it's kind of bouncing on like a lot of like uncertainty with Milwaukee, where like Cardinals, you know kind of what you're getting there. National League East. That's probably more of a three-way race. Braves, Mets, Phillies. That's probably going to be one of the most interesting division races to look at all year. Because I can see any one of those three is really winning. I don't know. That's definitely like a three-way toss-up for all of them. Maybe, I don't know, like New York. I mean, they just had breaking news like today that Justin Verlander is going to start the season on the IR. So like to have, like, Verlander, and then they have some other, like, older pitcher that the Mets are kind of relying on. Because, like, you know, they lost DeGrom in free agency, so they're kind of missing that number one, true number one starter. But I then it might be maybe Atlanta. Then I would probably go with Atlanta for now, and then we'll see, you know, because a month into the season, I'll probably, well, kind of look back and see what happens as the month goes down. And then we get to, like, you know, the All-Star break, trade deadline, and so on and so forth, and then, like, a month to go, stuff like that. National League West, I think it's probably the Padres division to lose. I think, like, maybe the Dodgers' reign on that division for, like, almost the last decade is probably coming to an end. And I like with the Padres with their moves, you know, signing Bogarts. You know, they signed, like, Blake Snell a couple of seasons ago. They traded for Yu Darvish. They got some pitchers. So it's definitely their division to lose there. American League East, probably between the New York Yankees and Toronto Blue Jays. Probably going to go more so with the Yankees because of what they've done. They won last year. They were able to re-sign Judge after his historic season. After, like, he was pretty close to, like, going to, like, the San Francisco Giants or some other team out west. So I think he's from, like, kind of the L.A., or he's from, like, California, around the San Francisco area, so that, you know, him coming home. But, the Yankees have something that the Giants don't, and that's a lot of money to spend. And then they signed Carlos Rodon from the Giants, with a free agent. I think he was there for just, like, 1 year, but, like, they have, like, pitching, they got the hitting, the arms, they got everything you can really need. They just kind of got to put it all together come October. And, you know, as they try and win another World Series, not like they need another one, but, you know. American League Central, probably maybe Cleveland. White Sox kind of underperformed last year. The Twins could possibly do something. Royals and Tigers are kind of like a rebuild, kind of like, they've kind of got some talent, but, like, they're not, like, ready to make that Nets jump forward when it comes to, like, talent and trying to, like, compete with the division as it is right now. So I'm probably going with, like, Cleveland. They won it last year. Trying to see what happens. But, like, the Twins could definitely contend for that. And the White Sox, if they were able to get everything kind of to what they were in, like, 2021 form, that they might be able to contend and reclaim the division crown. And then the AL West, probably not to do with Houston Astros, with maybe, like, the LA Angels and Seattle Mariners as, like, kind of teams to look at and watch over and stuff like that. Because, I mean, Houston, they won the World Series last year, so you kind of had to put them on, like, the top until they get knocked off that, like, pedestal, put them up top. You know, there are a lot of people's favorites to repeat, and we haven't had a repeat World Series winner in 23 years, with the last being the New York Yankees of 1998 to 2000. Other than that, we had the Cincinnati Reds of the 70s, were, like, the last National League team to win bat-to-bat. It's a lot. It's just really hard. It's probably not the, I don't know if it's the hardest to repeat in. It just hasn't happened yet. I think the hardest to repeat is probably football, just because with how the playoffs work, it's like one game. You win or you lose, win or go home. And we're like football, or should I say baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, all those other sports are like best of series. So it's like, you know, best of five, best of seven type of thing. So, like, you can lose games one and two. And even, like, a best-of-five series, like, you can lose games one and two, it'd still have a chance. But, you know, football, you lose, you have one bad game, and, like, the championship game, like, conference championship game, you're done. Or the Super Bowl, like, you're done. You come all that way, you're trying to repeat, and then you have a bad game in the Super Bowl, and you lose. So, like, other sports, you have a chance to do that. And I guess wild cards, pretty much, like, you know, for the National League, you know, maybe if some of their, like, off-season signings and stuff like that, and their pitching continues to be as it was the last couple months of the season last year, the Cubs compete for the wild card. I mean, we'll have, I mean, whoever doesn't win the East with, you know, probably the Mets and the Phillies. The West could be, I mean, probably the Dodgers. I mean, they have, you know, money to spend. They probably have a minor league system so that they can, you know, if they need a piece, they can go acquire that piece at the trade deadline, as they've, you know, not been afraid to do that over the past, you know, decade or more. They're willing to pretty much put out whatever they need to get the talent that they need to try and get another World Series. I mean, they won in 2020, but, like, you know, that's kind of what you expect when you're the Dodgers. Like, with, you know, the Yankees, you're trying to win World Series, so, like, anything less of trying to compete for a World Series championship year after year is kind of frowned upon with those fan bases and organizations. I think, like, nationally champion, like, pennant winners type of thing, I think I might have to go, as of, like, now, opening day 2023, who wins the National League. I think as a nom, I'm going to probably go with the Padres. I think they have pretty much everything you need. It's just that you kind of need to put everything together over the course of the season into, like, the playoffs, which has kind of been what they've been lacking in recent years. But I think this is their year to, like, finally overtake the Dodgers, win that division, and kind of show everyone that, like, all this money, like, I think it's got to be, like, $1 billion, close to or probably more, that they've spent on free agents and, like, through trades, you know, acquiring those deals and, like, contract money and all that stuff. It's got to be over $1 billion. And then for the American League, I think probably going to have to go with the Houston Astros again, you know, reigning champs. And I think it's, until someone beats them, they're probably the favorites. And then World Series, I'm going to go Padres. I say six games. There could be seven, but I think we'll go with, like, six as of now, as, like, this opening day predictions, kind of preview them, see what kind of happens over the course of the season. And then next, NFL offseason. I think we'll probably skip NBA playoffs. We'll probably put that on the back burner for next week episode, because that'll, like, kind of be more closer to when the season actually starts, or the playoffs actually start, because I think they do that play-in tournament. I saw it's, like, April 11th to the 14th to, like, the 7th through 10th seeds in each conference make it to a play-in tournament, so they do that over the course of those days, and then I think the actual playoffs start that April 18th or 19th, something like that next week, so that'll be more of a, you can probably look a little bit more into that next week and kind of preview it, because by that time they'll be, like, you know, the last teams will have, like, probably two or three games left to make that final playoff push. So we'll talk about NFL offseason now for a little bit. We have, you know, the draft coming up within a month, I believe, and all, I guess, local, you know, football news with Aaron Rodgers and that whole thing is, it seems more than likely his time with Green Bay is done. As he said, he wants to go to the Jets, and, you know, the teams and front offices are working to make that happen. It just seems a matter of, like, contract thoughts and, like, how much of that salary they take up and draft picks and stuff like that. I think if I'm the Packers, I would want the Jets' first round pick, but I don't think the Jets would be willing to give that up, because it's 13, the overall pick. Usually you can get someone very solid at that draft spot to help Aaron, who comes in, and, like, you can get someone, like, because the Jets were probably, like, they definitely needed a quarterback last year. If they had a decent quarterback, they probably could have been to the playoffs, because they have, you know, a pretty solid, you know, team overall. They just kind of missing that quarterback link, which is often the case with NFL teams. It's the quarterback. It's the quarterback lead. You have a good quarterback, you're going to go far. Like we saw with, like, the Super Bowl, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Jalen Hurts. You know, those two guys can carry you to the Super Bowl and win it. But, like, you have to kind of get that team. And Aaron Rodgers is, like, at that point of his career where, like, he's had chances, but, you know, he hasn't came through all the way. And the Packers, with them, you know, trading up to draft Jordan Love in the 2020 draft, kind of like, you know, left a little sour taste in his mouth. And it seems like this is kind of the end of the line. And it seems like, you know, both teams want to kind of like get this over with. But, I would want that first overall, that first round pick from New York, but probably not going to get it just because you can still get some good talent at that point to help out. And it's going to be tough. So probably a second round pick they would want at least. It's probably what you can get. And then, you know, maybe like a receiver or something like that for Green Bay, you know. Because the Jets also signed Alan Lazard, who was like pretty much the go-to or like wide receiver one last year for Green Bay, because, you know, they traded Davante Adams to the Raiders. So you kind of missed, you know, true number one receiver, because Alan Lazard is not. But like, you know, with the Jets, now they have Lazard and they have, you know, Garrett Wilson, the reigning NFL Rookie of the Year. You have the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year and Sauce Gardner, cornerback. So you have, like, they have talent. They're just definitely missing a quarterback. We also had, let's see, the Bears had the number one overall pick, traded that to Carolina in exchange for their ninth overall pick and some other. They got wide receiver DJ Moore, I believe it was. And they also got a number one or a first round pick next year's draft, which is a pretty good haul for the Bears. And, you know, for the Panthers, they can try and get their face of the franchise quarterback that they haven't had since Cam Newton. And who knows who they'll get. Like, you know, you kind of look at mock drafts from like all these different things like NFL.com, ESPN, CBS, Yahoo Sports, all that stuff, you know. They might take C.J. Stroud of Ohio State, Bryce Young of Alabama, and then pretty much the Houston Texans are number two, so it's kind of like whoever Carolina doesn't take at number one, they'll probably take at number two. And then I think it's the Arizona Cardinals at number three. They don't really need a quarterback. Kyler Murray, tore his ACL and stuff like that, so he'll be, you know, on the sidelines for the first couple, you know, months at least, recovering from that. But, and then the Colts at number four are definitely in need of a quarterback, though there's also talk that they might try and trade for Lamar Jackson, who announced like a bombshell as he put in our trade request with the Ravens, as they just haven't been able to come to like a contract decision these past couple off seasons. He's been playing under like the franchise tag and stuff like that, like, which are just a year deals, and he's kind of like, I want something more, which is pretty, you know, well deserved. Like, he's a, you know, he's won the NFL MVP, but like the Ravens have definitely kind of underperformed. Like, they have like, they need like, they definitely need like the number one receiver, which like don't, they haven't had. And they have Mark Andrews, a tight end, very solid, one of the best tight ends in the league, along with like Travis Kelce, George Kittle, stuff like that. But they don't have like a number one receiver that they can go to, and which they definitely need. So if he does get traded, like, he could get traded to the Colts, which would be pretty nuts, because they have a good receiving core. You have Jonathan Taylor that you can run, a good offensive line, defense. Their defense is all right. They definitely need some kind of defensive back help, like corners and safeties. But like, you know, that's so Kawhi Leonard, they got pretty solid D-line, so that's something to look forward, kind of see and monitor as the time goes with that situation, because that could change up the NFL draft too, if like the Colts, you know, do end up trading for Lamar. That number four overall pick is going to go to Baltimore without a doubt, and probably maybe another, I don't know if they would want another first round pick from next year, possibly, but I don't know with what the Colts have been doing in recent years with like trading for like kind of quarterbacks and kind of stuff like that, if they would get that, or if they even have another first round pick to deliver. So we'll kind of see with that, but like those are probably the main things what happens for like NFL offseason as we kind of like work our way to the draft and like kind of stuff what happens with like Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm gonna kind of talk back next week and kind of see what else has been happening. Same with like NBA playoffs, and kind of like previewing that, as it'll be about 2 weeks away for that, and kind of starting with that, kind of previewing who is like the favorites, first round matchups potentially based on like seedings at the time, and all that. We'll discuss the, you know, basketball, college basketball championships, Final Four, kind of recap those, stuff like that. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, and have a good week.